right, let's see if this thing is on. We're back for another episode of Seat of Your Pants. I'm Jay from Why Not. With me, as always, is Mistress Kai. And can you all hear me okay? Hello?
Hello, hello.
Hi, hi.
All right, great. So we've got a connection here. And we've got Courtney Trouble of Trouble Films as our guest.
I'm trying to hide my messy room from you.
It's okay. No one's going to see it. That's just for our benefit.
Oh, yay. Okay, great.
Yeah. So the only thing that we're doing is we're just saving the audio that's going to be played for everyone. But we like to have video so we can see, you know, reactions and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see your guys' faces.
Absolutely.
So. You know what? I want to tell you something, Jay. The first time I saw, and I don't know how many years ago this was, the first time I saw the name Courtney Trouble come across my Twitter feed, I was like, that's such a good fucking name. Like, it made me want to write a comic because I thought Courtney Trouble, superhero. And then I was like, so now every time that name comes across my feed or, I think you DM'd me a few months ago. In my head, I hear that Courtney Trouble, superhero, making good trouble wherever she goes.
That's right.
You know, I love that.
That's such a jerk. Meeting Courtney. We used to do trade shows in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And I know that Courtney showed up a few times. The first time I met her, God, what were we doing? We were doing our suite party on one of the floors that we ended up having to get it shut down because the way the hotel was built, if you had a lot of noise on one side of the building, it would go up the entire building and it would wake literally 500 people up. So, yeah, I met Courtney and she brought some of her crew there and we had a party, and that was probably about 10, 11, maybe more years ago. But, yeah, Courtney, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us how you got your name and how you got your studios going. Give everybody a little education here.
Well, first of all, like, that's so cute, the superhero thing. And like, one of my nicknames is like the fisting fairy godmother. Oh, so that's what that reminds me of.
That's so awesome.
Is like being like my superpower is being able to magically fist any orifice or something.
Wow. It's a good superpower.
Uh-huh.
But actually the name, I also really like that you said good trouble, because it's definitely a part of where Courtney Trouble comes from. So like good trouble is termed by like John Lewis is like a form of like protest and revolution. And it's just, it means like protesting, but like, you know, not with nonviolence and also creatively and like causing trouble to make change and in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I also think like trouble also came from like some nerdy academic shit. Like Judith Butler has a book called Gender Trouble that's also kind of about like revolutionizing like the way we think of like gender and like getting into trouble and like kind of like inviting people or forcing people to like think about gender and sexuality through like the actions that we take and the things that we do and the way that we perform. So trouble felt like a good fit for me, just based off of like the people I read and like the philosophers and other nerds that I look up to all talk about getting into trouble a lot. So, you know, when I was 18, 19 and like needed to come up with a name, like I just, you know, like I talked to a lot of my friends, like I can't say that I named myself because I feel like my community has something to do with it. But I mean, I think a lot of porn people were either named by like their agent or like one of their friends, or they like have a tendency to like pick authors or like celebrities that they like and kind of put names together. So trouble comes from John Lewis. It comes from John Waters. It comes from Judith Butler.
But it doesn't come from the board game Trouble though, right?
Well, if you want to pop the trouble bubble,
yes,
we can do that too.
I'm hearing the noise that it makes and feeling it right bubble. Now as we're talking. Yes. Oh, that's so funny. Good.
That's what I'm going to call my first gangbang scene. Will be the trouble bubble gets popped or something like that. You play the game.
You play the
game.
And
then everybody will. Anyways, exactly. Yeah.
I don't even know who makes
that. I'm a porn star, if people haven't picked that up. I like performing on camera. I really like hardcore lesbian and queer and trans porn as a performer. And I've been doing that since I was like 18 or so. I'm almost 40.
Wow. So you've been in this for 22 years, just like I have.
Yep. Feeling it.
Yeah.
And actually, Jay, you know, I wanted to tell you like how important the Why Not message boards were to a very young and impressionable pornographer back in the day. In 2001, 2002, I was logging onto the message boards from my hometown, Olympia, Washington, and like, what is an affiliate? What is the difference between a regular website and like a porn website? Because like I taught myself how to build websites when I was a teenager. So when I wanted to make a porn site, I was like, well, what's the difference? Oh, you need like a membership merchant account. Oh God, what is that? So the Why Not message boards, I don't even know how I found them. But like, I know, you know, I've known Connor ever since then, basically.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Connor started out as a webmaster building sites back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, for those that weren't aware, way back in the day, Why Not was known as Why Not Masters. And we had message boards that, you know, early on, some of the earliest web developers were using, and they were exchanging ideas. They were doing a lot of pissing matches. So there was a lot of aggression going on. I mean, you know, and plus back then, no one really used their face or their real name or anything to do their marketing. Everybody was just an online persona. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you would meet this bigger than whatever personality online, and then you'd meet the person and they'd be just some really introverted, sheepish, you would never expect whatever, you know, keyboard warrior type, you know, it shows and stuff. And back then there was only like two shows a year. So it wasn't like you had all these amazing opportunities. I mean, there were parties and shit, but you just didn't have all these opportunities like you did, you know, over the years. I mean, I think my busiest year for shows was like 12 or 14, and I didn't even go to all of them, you know, but
that's
back in the early, it is. And you know what? I miss those days, and I don't think I have it in me to keep up at that pace like I used to, but it was fun. But yeah, in the very earliest days, you pretty much had Vegas and somewhere else, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. And you know me, I've never lived in Vegas or LA. And there was a time when like San Francisco was like the porn center of the world for a while. And I was there for that. And it was nice. But like when I first started, I was in Washington State. Like there was no conventions or anything at all. So actually I learned everything there is to know about starting an adult business just from like the Why Not webmasters. Got me super interested in like the technical stuff and like all this nerdy stuff about like affiliate programs and like how to market your work. And like, I've never like gotten into like buying traffic or whatever, but like it's there.
But when it comes to down to it though, you pretty much are a do it all kind of person. I mean, you're self-made, and I mean, just the direction that you've taken.
It really is impressive, because usually somebody's either more on the technical end or they tilt more towards the creative performance aspect of it. But you're like this powerhouse package.
Yeah. I think it kind of had to be that way. I mean, when I was first starting out, 18 or 19, I would have loved this. We're talking about the year 2000, 2001, like, there are a lot of really cool porn sites and projects back then. And I would have loved to have been a part of them, but quite frankly, being plus size really, and also like being gay, really pushed me out of those opportunities. And like, before I could even get started, I was being told no. So,
it's hard to believe that wasn't even that long ago. Like, it's so hard. We've come so far, but yet that wasn't really all that long ago. And you still see those struggles with like larger performers, you know?
I still don't get studio work for the most part. It's not entirely true. Like I worked for Adult Time, twice in 1 year, like just basically last year. And then the pandemic has kind of made me slow down a lot. And like, of course, being in the Bay Area, being in Northern California, there's less people to work with and stuff. So I haven't really gotten reinvested in the performance aspect of things. But when I do, like, there's no studios that shoot plus size. And now that I'm 39, now we're talking about, I don't know what you want to tag me as, what, grandma?
No, no. I mean, technically, sure, you could.
What is 39?
But you don't, I mean, okay, you don't look like a grandma at all. I mean, come on.
I know. I still play the little girl in most of my scenes.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, yeah, you bring up some really good points because, yeah, I mean, back in the earlier days, I mean, if you were marginal in any way, shape, or form, then you were totally marginalized. And
absolutely.
It's, you know, I mean, yeah, we've come a long way since then. I mean, a long way, because I mean, back then creators and models and actors had very little control unless you were like a huge name. I mean, the control was all in the agencies, the studios, the production, all that, you know? And oh my God, my cat is driving me freaking crazy. If my connection cuts out, you're going to know why. But yeah, I mean, it's like things have changed, but we still have a very long way to go, obviously. But, I mean, just the amount of, for one thing that we still have to go on. I mean, it's like somebody the other day asked me, you know, who's the best agent for BBW models? And I'm like thinking, I don't know of any agencies that focus on BBW models. I mean, they might have a few in their roster who are huge, huge names that are, you know, very well established. But in general, if you're a BBW model that is looking to get out there, you know, you're going to have a hard time and you're going to have to do all your own bookings.
Why isn't somebody doing that? Because it's a growing genre. I mean, it's growing exponentially as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why nobody's doing that. Maybe we stumbled upon something.
Right now, I feel like it's actually in danger of shrinking and going back to like where we were like 6 or 7 years ago, because you're right. It's like trend based because,
yeah.
And it depends on who's doing it because, you know, like, I'm not going to name names, but like, big studios will put out sub studios that are like BBW or fat or plus size. I use all three of those terms interchangeably, and then they disappear and they don't have a fat person running it. They're not like fat director. Like it's just, they're normal people. And you know, they'll do one or two things and then they'll shut down the sub studio. And then we're back to where we were before. And the award shows do the same thing. They'll come out with best plus size performer. And then a couple years later, it'll disappear. And the answer is always like, oh, we follow trends. And it's just like, bodies should not be trends.
No, we don't include any of that in our Why Not Cam Awards in Hollywood. We interchange all sexes, sizes, genders, what have you, in just about every single category. I mean, we've got a few specialized categories where we need to segment it out like that. You know, like best trans performer, best male performer, best female performer. We have a diva category so that models over the age of 35, or at least noticeably over the age of 35, have their own category so that they have to compete with 20-year-olds, you know. But for the most part, you know, funniest model, best friend, most creative. I mean, that's interchangeable. Those are categories that are based clearly on merit.
Yeah. You guys are filling in a gap, you know, that you probably saw there was a hole there and filled it quite nicely, actually.
Yeah. And we'll continue to do that. That's not going to change. And we've seen that some of our competitors have decided to adapt that same, you know, ideology and claim it. But, you know, whatever.
I mean, I can tell you from like my limited insider perspective that they've been trying to do it for a long time, but like they just don't really care enough to really keep it going. And what I've also noticed is that the nominations are like completely unresearched. So like every year it'll be like the same BBW models and the same trans models. And to a certain extent, like even like the same models of color will be chosen every year, despite, you know, all the different things. Like some people haven't worked or like some people have done a lot of work and they're not included on the list.
Yeah.
And so it just feels like, I feel like a lot of people in the adult industry like include us because they feel like they have to, or that it benefits them in some kind of way in that moment. And it's always temporary.
Well, we want to maintain as much relevance as possible. I'm sorry, my cat. We want to maintain as much relevance as possible and be as accurate as possible. So one thing that I'm going to actually pose this to both of you ladies, as well as anyone that, you know, is listening in, to, you know, contact me if you feel like you know, we're dropping the ball, or if somebody really needs to be involved. I mean, because one thing that we do as well include with our nomination process is, you know, the nominee has to want to be there. If they're not interested in getting nominated, and they don't, you know, do any of the process, that's fine. You know, we don't want to have someone feel like they're forced into it, you know. But by the same token, if somebody needs to be involved or they want to get involved, then we need them to obviously accept the nomination and, you know, click a few buttons and that's about it. Otherwise, they just won't be included. So
I think you guys have tremendous intuition. You care about the community. I think you've got your finger on the pulse of things. That's just my impression that your intuition, you and Connor, your intuition is so spot on that I think you're doing a pretty damn good job. And the way you care about the community, I mean, that's bigger than all of it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we're not perfect, and, you know, it's just,
yeah, we
can always improve.
Only Dolls is our first ever sponsor for Seat of Your Pants. We love these guys. Only Dolls is your number one sex doll marketplace, offering customizable sex dolls, moving ass sex dolls, and fast, discreet, and free shipping worldwide. Pricing starts as low as under $1,000 for your very own sex doll. Meet the guys at Exotica Expo and Why Not Camunity and take advantage of the affiliate opportunities they have to offer as well. Currently, there is a winter sale going on. Get up to 20% off of all sex dolls. Yes, you heard that right. Get started by visiting onlydolls.com today. Fantasy.club is the new streaming platform powered by Adult Empire. Whether you're a gamer tired of restrictions on nudity or a cam performer in constant worry of being deplatformed, Fantasy Club is the internet niche for you. Fantasy Club is an adult-oriented streaming platform designed to empower creators. Check out their December promotion. They're offering a limited-time $1,000 bonus for each of the first 1,000 creators that sign up and complete the promotion requirements. Eligible models must stream for at least 40 hours during the month of December. The bonus will then be issued after the end of the month. The bonus is available for both new and previously verified creators. Visit fantasy.club today.
What did I want to ask you, Courtney? So have you been able to do a lot of shooting during all this ridiculous time? And I mean, are you still in the Bay Area?
Yes. Okay, so I'll answer those questions with just like yes and no, because my life before the pandemic was very fast paced, very jet set, actually. Because I live in the Bay Area, most of my work is done in Vegas or LA or like Europe. Like, I go to Berlin a lot. I've been going to Amsterdam a lot. And I had just popped into London and Paris and was like shooting in those places, directing and doing just like indie alt porn and stuff. So, you know, I went to Amsterdam in like October 2019 and like we filmed this beautiful thing and we're like getting ready to like go on tour with it. And then the pandemic hit. So that kind of like made us have to completely reconsider like what Trouble Films was doing it as like a company. So when I say we, it's like me and then Chelsea Poe, you know, Sin Sage makes films for us. April Flores is someone who works for us. Lita Lecheris makes films with us, or she's going to. So like, there's like a lot of things going on, but one thing that was always a constant was that I was always moving. I was always going somewhere. So the pandemic for me really like brought my job inward and like gave me a chance to like work on some stuff that like either I hadn't edited yet or like really needed to work on or focus on. Like some of my websites really needed a lot of revamping. So I took that time to become more of a post-production specialist type of person and like really dig into my webmaster skills. So I currently have 5 membership sites that I run. They're not all mine. One of them is for Alita. One of them is ChelseaSubmits.com, which is Chelsea's trans solo site. And we've been running those normally. We just haven't been shooting very much content until we shot in July. So really, not much.
It feels like we had a brief period there in the summer where we were all starting to feel like, oh, good. Like we were like,
yeah, I had a great summer.
Things are going back. We're going to get our lives back.
I saw my grandma. I went to LA. I'm sad I didn't shoot in LA because I was staying with April Flores. And we're like, oh, what if we did something? But we just wanted to hang out. I'm like, there was like birds were like laying nests in her porch. So we just got totally distracted and just didn't end up doing anything work.
Yeah, I met April for the first, well, I'd met her before, but like I met her in LA at my show, and she was doing some of the red carpet stuff. And, you know, it was like such a stressful time for me producing, a trade show and an award show. I would have loved to have spent more time hanging out with her. Actually, I wanted her to come and join us for dinner.
She was the host of your red carpet.
Yeah, but, it was busy times, and unfortunately, maybe next time. I wanted to ask you, of all the European cities that you've been to, which one did you enjoy the best?
If I could live in Berlin or Amsterdam, I totally would. I would just leave. Yeah, I would go in a
heartbeat. Just get the fuck out. See ya.
Yeah. In our motherfucker.
Yeah, I like Amsterdam.
Of course, as much as I'm like rooted in like a kind of like American, like revolutionary theory or whatever, there's still a part of me that was like, if I had the money and like the wherewithal to like go set up shop in Amsterdam, I think that would be the coolest thing, because like the community of sex workers there is incredible.
Huge. Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful there.
Yeah. It's a historic
city. In California for the past 15 years, and then before that, Washington State, like being in a picturesque place is almost like something that I'm just like so used to. So Amsterdam has that real wow factor. It's beautiful. And Berlin is just like punky and underground, and there's so much art and music, and there's a ton of queer porn people there. So, and they have a film festival. So like business wise, Berlin would be great. I do love Europe. I miss it a lot.
Do you do the Venus show? Is that what you've been to before? Mm-hmm. I know that that's like a big
thing. I go to a lot of shows.
Huh. Okay.
And then the way I see it is like, I'm not getting paid to be there. You know, for the audio listeners, I just grimaced. If I'm not getting paid to be there, I really have to consider like what, not like what's in it for me, but like, what is it going to bring?
What makes sense? I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, I attend a lot of shows, but I mean, I also bring home a lot of business from these shows. So it makes sense for me to go. I mean,
and I've been to a lot of shows and people are just like, okay, cool. Queer porn. What's that? We don't do boys. And I'm like, it's not even boys.
It could be anybody, for God's sake.
Queer is an umbrella term, for God's sake.
Yeah. I mean, what they automatically assume, it's just going to be two dudes.
Thank you for showing me that queer porn has been around long enough that people know what it is now.
Yeah.
Because as the person who kind of like coined the term, I can say like, it's just been deeply frustrating going to conventions, going to award shows, going to all these places, handing someone, you know, this little burned DVD and being like, watch this, it's queer porn. And they're like, nah, man, we don't want dicks. And I'm like, wait, but it's like lesbian porn with flair. Like just trying to convince people in like 10 seconds that they should look at my work, you know?
It might be that word, because like Jay and I are from a generation where that word was so weaponized towards our gay friends. I mean, I've heard that word used with such vile while watching my gay friends getting their ass kicked on, you know, things were, that word is so hard for our generation. I think to sort of switch off, and I love that it's been reclaimed and it's a lot easier now, but I think people maybe outside of adult still have remnants or that, or they're still tethered to that sort of, and maybe it's passed down, like, because our generation has children and grandchildren, but maybe the generations coming behind us, maybe it's still tethered a little bit.
Of the previous meaning, or just of how it was used in regular culture.
I think that has a lot to do with what happened to the word queer is that, I mean, if you could think about it, we kind of took it and we replanted it mm-hmm. and let it blossom into something really beautiful.
Beautiful. That's the word I was thinking.
So I think that's what happens, you know, when people try to reclaim a term, whether, you know, whatever it is, like right. even fat. Fat is such a, it can be used as a weapon. Like you right. can sure. kill somebody by calling them fat. Like, but for me, you know, like I've tried to do nearly everything in my power to like really make that word like beautiful and like positive for myself, because like as a fat person, as a queer person, these words have totally been hurled at me. I was called queer in high school in the 90s. I was called a faggot in the 90s because
that word,
you know, like, so, I think that the act of reclaiming a term actually has a lot to do with creating that good trouble, creating a revolution, because right. we're revolutionizing the word.
Smart.
Yeah, you smart. Know, and unlike some words that are reclaimed, I would say queer is a word that I want everyone to use when they're talking to me. You can call me queer. You can call me a fat queer. Like, that's what I am. Like, I've worked my whole life to be a fat queer.
I mean, this is really good to
I'm
know.
Good
I mean, you're providing some very, you know, important education here, because, I mean, I would never, I mean, you know, just knowing now that it's acceptable just from right now, I mean, I would never want to refer to anybody as fat or queer or anything like that. You know, I mean, like Kai was saying, I come from a generation where, you know, these words were interchangeable with, like, you know, all kinds of bad things. I mean, queer probably came from like the 50s or 60s and pretty much just only meant like an outsider, just somebody who was on the fringe of society, you know, and then it started moving into homosexuality. And then, I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, when you referred to somebody as queer, they were weird or they were different. They were maybe gay, maybe not gay, but you just, it was something you did not want to be called, you know? And, I mean, it was like from the movie Valley Girl. I mean, Johnny, Are You Queer Boy? If you can remember that song.
Do you guys remember that?
It's a good song. But I mean, as well, you know, it carries connotations. But I mean, knowing now what you're saying, it's just like, okay, this is very interesting. I mean, I still don't feel like I have the right to refer to someone like that. I mean, if they want to be, then that's great. But I just would never initiate it, you know?
That's because it's just so ingrained with us with all of the bad things.
Yeah.
And Courtney's right that now it's becoming something that's beautiful. So even old curmudgeonly people like us, it's starting to shift where we're seeing it in a different way. And that's because of all the young people coming up behind us. They're doing that. They're doing the good trouble and they're fixing that word. They're taking all that hateful power away from it and making it blossom into something beautiful that people can use to identify themselves. Like, I love watching how this word has transitioned. But my initial reaction when I hear it, there's still traces of, ooh, like my body will physically tense up sometimes. But that's only because I heard that word with venom as my gay friends were getting the shit kicked out of them. And there was nothing you could do. There was nothing you could do in the 80s. But that's the only reason there's a little bit of trace, you know, where I'm like, clench up. But now, I sort of remember that point where when I heard that word, it stopped being like, and then more of like a warm feeling inside, because it was a good word for people I cared about in my community to use to identify themselves. I remember that specific moment. It felt wonderful.
What's occurred to me right now, okay, is that I want you to remember that history every time you hear the word queer.
I'll never forget that. I'll never.
And if we're, you know, if we're talking about like queer porn, like watching queer sex, I think it's important to know what an intense history of homophobia a lot of performers are going through and coming out of, and like having queer sex, whether it's lesbian or gay or transgender or genderqueer sex, like on camera in front of people, is a really vulnerable space because we've had to be in the closet for so long. You know, like generations before me were all in the closet. Like, I was a child in the 80s. And so for me, like the HIV epidemic was like the scariest thing.
Yeah.
But being gay wasn't the scariest thing anymore. It was now the virus.
Dying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've had plenty of friends who passed away from AIDS back in the day. You know, it's funny because not funny. It's not funny.
What I'm saying is, like, we just, you don't have to forget about all that history when you think about queer people and like queer as a word and like queer is beautiful, because perhaps it's like part of what you should know is like that resilience and that history is built into like everything we make.
Well, that's a word success story. There's so many out there that still need work, you know? Mm-hmm. And they should follow that example if at all possible. And I mean, there's certainly definitely trying on some, but No, this is very interesting.
A lot of healing has to be done, Jay.
Yeah.
The earth needs to be in a healing phase. We all just need to come together and figure some shit out.
In more ways than one, really, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, we can't come together right now, but...
We could. I don't know that it would really work in the context of the show, and it would kind of take my relationship with Kai to a completely different level, but, you know...
In person?
Yeah.
Oh, we would get into so much trouble.
You were great at that award show. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be in the booth with Jay.
Kate started drinking on stage.
Oh, that was the best. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Why not get drunk at an award show on stage in the year of 2021? Why not? I've
been annihilated on some of the shows that I've hosted in the past. I mean, it's just like, oh my God. Yeah, one of the first, it's funny because there's a thing called the Live Cam Awards, and this goes on at the European Summit in Barcelona. And I was the co-host in 2016. And I was probably a 0.2 on stage. I would have blown that high, I'm sure, by the time the show was over, because people just kept bringing wine up to me from the audience. You know, that's kind of my shtick. Whenever I'm doing a show, if I want a drink, I'll just call out to the audience, hey, can someone get me a, you know, whatever. And sure enough, within a minute, somebody will be walking glasses up to the stage right in the middle of a freaking show.
I feel like in any other year, it would have been a little uncalled for, but it was
probably
so welcome and appreciated. Yeah. This time around.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, because this year, I was with Kate Kennedy and Nikki Knight. And I'm just like, you know what? Right during the live stream, hey, you know, we could really use a drink right now. And then I took their order and then I just shouted it out to the audience. And two different people ended up bringing us drinks up on stage and everything. And two of them were friends of mine from Austin, Tanya and Chris. And they're just like walking on stage and they're just like, what do we do? What do we do? I'm like, yeah, just hang here right now while we give out this award. And then you can go at that. Go leave on this stage that way and go around, whatever. It was, I like impromptu shit like that. But yeah, 2021, that was defined.
So I've definitely gotten to present an award before at two different award shows, actually, or three different award shows.
Tell us.
The Feminist Porn Awards, I've what do you call that? The given away the trophy.
Presenter?
And then two other we won't name.
Oh, okay. But did you have fun?
But I would absolutely love to, like, co-host an award show.
Oh, yeah?
I think you'd be really good at that.
I think so, too.
Hint, hint. Hint, well, hint.
And I don't drink, so I'd be like the sober buddy.
You'd be the sober one. You know, let me think about that. I mean, as well, how are you on the red carpet for interviewing people?
I've been... Oh, that would be so much fun.
Oh, my gosh. You'd be phenomenal.
I've been on the red carpet a million times, and I've taken pictures on the red. I've done the paparazzi thing before.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to ask people questions.
I'll tell you right now, you've heard it here on Seat of Your Pants, which, by the way, I need to do a quick break and thank our sponsors. I don't want to forget to do that during our show.
Fantasy.club is the new streaming platform powered by Adult Empire. Whether you're a gamer tired of restrictions on nudity or a cam performer in constant worry of being deplatformed, Fantasy Club is the internet niche for you. Fantasy Club is an adult-oriented streaming platform designed to empower creators. Check out their December promotion. They're offering a limited-time $1,000 bonus for each of the first 1,000 creators that sign up and complete the promotion requirements. Eligible models must stream for at least 40 hours during the month of December. The bonus will then be issued after the end of the month. The bonus is available for both new and previously verified creators. Visit fantasy.club today.
But yeah, Courtney, you've heard it now that if you're able to make it to the Why Not Cam Awards in Hollywood, which we don't have dates selected yet, but it's going to be in October of 2022. So we're talking 9 months from now. You have one of the red carpet spots for the interview.
Yay. So,
yeah, consider that done.
Right.
If we can make it.
We need some clapping noise in the background.
That's right. That's right.
And at this point, ask the good questions.
Seriously, ask the good questions. You know,
I'm huge about red carpet fashion and how that translates in the porn world. And like, so I like to ask people about what they're wearing and how they piece together an outfit for a porn award show is always a funny story because some people get it like that day. Like Joanna Angel oftentimes will buy her red carpet dress like the day of the award show from a boutique in Las Vegas. I know this about her. Other people, also Joanna Angel, will have like a stylist and they've planned their outfit for 5 months. And it's basically just a prom dress that they cut out the inside of. I love that shit.
You're going to be really good at that.
Give me a quick shout out to our sponsor.
Only Dolls is our first ever sponsor for Seat of Your Pants. We love these guys. Only Dolls is your number one sex doll marketplace, offering customizable sex dolls, moving ass sex dolls, and fast, discreet, and free shipping worldwide. Pricing starts as low as under $1,000 for your very own sex doll. Meet the guys at Exotica Expo and Why Not Camunity and take advantage of the affiliate opportunities they have to offer as well. Currently, there is a winter sale going on. Get up to 20% off of all sex dolls. Yes, you heard that right. Get started by visiting onlydolls.com today.
I'm going to have to look out both of these sponsors for my own personal reasons.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. You know, give it a test drive, see how it works. And
I love sex dolls.
Tell a friend or 10, you know? Plus, they have affiliate opportunities. And you know about what being an affiliate is about. I mean, you know, creating your own site, your own promo or whatever, sending the traffic to the site with a specific link for those of out there who don't understand how affiliate works.
And oh God, if you can write a sentence, like you should start a blog and just start typing these words in, sex toy, sex doll, blah, blah, blah. Plug in your affiliate code, start a blog. So easy.
So easy. You know, if you have any traffic, you have any influence over any of your fans or anybody else, even other models or other people in the industry, and you can get them to go and click a link and check something out and either make a purchase or send that traffic somewhere else, and you're getting paid. I mean, you can make passive income.
I mean, why am I not doing this?
It's time consuming. It requires some finesse.
No, but it doesn't. Like, I'm an affiliate of Stockroom.
Okay.
And they gave me a coupon. So I can just say, if you want to buy anything from Stockroom, use my coupon. It's Trouble21. You'll get a discount. Easy peasy. You don't have to go anywhere. Now, once you go to stockroom.com, buy something and put in my code Trouble21, you'll get the discount. I think it's like 20% or 15%. Like, it's really good. I'll get an affiliate fee from that.
Now, let me ask you this, though, because you have a relationship personally with Stockroom that dates back many years. Yeah. So in order for you to be an affiliate for them now, granted, what you're doing now doesn't really take that much time. But you nurtured a relationship with them that took years and years. And a lot of affiliates don't have that luxury or that history.
You may not be getting free product to review right off the bat.
Right.
You may not be getting a coupon code, you know, unless, you know, for me, I only have like 40,000 followers on Twitter, but I'm verified, which makes a huge difference. Like, my tweets show up, which really helps me as like a producer and a marketer. You know, I don't really consider myself an influencer, but I'm definitely an affiliate whore.
Now, 40,000 is not a number to sneeze at. And I mean, you know, even if you have 4,000, if you have people that are actually engaging with you, you know, that's what matters
most. That's such great advice too. Like, I'm not concerned with my follower count at all, but
So Jay,
yes.
Guess what Courtney's agreed to do?
Oh, I'm excited already and I have no idea.
That was kind of
a lot of things about me.
Nice. What has she agreed?
So, I really liked the game we played, a few episodes ago called Two Truths and a Lie.
Yeah.
So I asked her if she would be down, and I got woohoo. So I'm going to turn it over to Courtney, and Jay and I are going to try to figure it out.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are playing Two Truths and a Lie.
Yes.
Okay, so you know the pop star Peaches?
No.
No.
But I'm old.
Okay.
I was waiting for Kai to say no first. I knew what the answer was right away, and I'm like, shit, am I really that old?
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll skip that one. I'll skip that one. But okay, well, this one was a true one, is that I got to be in a music video and I got to go down on Peaches, the pop star, on camera. Oh, and it's in the great. Music video.
Good for you.
Oh, that's on YouTube. Awesome. I'm going to look that up when we're done.
Okay, so I wrote a couple extra, but just in case you didn't know.
Okay.
All right. So.
You're so cute.
Stuff that I've actually done in my life is really interesting. Okay, so I was asked to incorporate a Lady Gaga impersonator into one of my porn films by like the producer. So I wrote a script where Lady Gaga put on a concert at like a local bar and then like had sex with like a groupie. So it was like Ella Nova and a Lady Gaga impersonator.
Okay, so that's one of them.
That really happened.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that's a truth. Well, here's the thing.
Second thing that really, really happened.
All right. You need to tell
I was contacted Courtney. In 2012.
Courtney, okay. We have to guess which
yeah.
is the truth.
You have to tell us three things,
no,
and we
I
have to
I'm
guess which one is the
things.
Lie.
Oh, okay.
I swear to God, all three of these things really happened.
No way.
I'm not going to tell you which one didn't.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. So we have to figure out, which one never happened.
Yeah.
Right. But we have to figure out which
okay,
one.
Good. I just wanted to make sure you
right,
understood.
Right.
The
oh,
game.
Okay. Okay. All right. We're good.
Great. Okay.
Okay. So Lady Gaga impersonator really happened. Second thing that really happened is that I was contacted in 2012 by someone who I won't name to shoot the Miley Cyrus lesbian sex tape. Really fucking happened. It was going to be a softcore girl with Jessie Andrews. Do you remember Jessie Andrews? She was like super popular in like 2011, 2012.
Hmm.
No. Okay. She's beautiful. But anyways, okay. So I was supposed to shoot the Miley Cyrus lesbian sex tape. They like reached out to me and everything. It was basically just going to be like this softcore makeout video with Jessie Andrews, basically like a naked makeout video set to music, but it never happened. But they asked me to do it. It's very, very complicated. Okay. So then the third thing that happened is that I've been on the Howard Stern show, but before I was famous.
Okay.
Okay.
So now we have to figure out which one of those three things didn't really happen.
Yeah.
So why were you on the Howard Stern show?
Oh, I have to answer a question?
You get to ask a question. We each get to ask a question.
We get to ask a question. Then we have to figure out which one of the three things that you told us is a lie.
Okay, I was on the Howard Stern show because I was like a journalist in training and like I was like a teenager and a group of us went and we were on the show together and we all got to ask him a question.
Okay, I'll ask you this question. What year would that have been?
The late 90s.
Okay.
I was a teenager.
Which one are you thinking is the lie, Kai?
Okay, so part of me is like, Courtney's really clever and trying to make us think the Howard Stern thing is a lie because of the hesitation and looking up. And I'm like, watch the eyes because the eyes are going to tell you if they're recalling memory or if they're creating something. Mm-hmm. But Courtney looked straight up, not to the left or to the right. So now I'm like, And I'm like, is Courtney trying to deceive us on purpose on that one? So, you know, this is how my mind works.
Does that mean that the Miley Cyrus one and the Lady Gaga one are both true?
I don't know. So now, Jay, I want to hear what Jay thinks.
Yeah, my attitude is this. I'm thinking like exactly what you were, that, you know, is she trying to create something or did this really happen? Is she trying to throw us off? I think the two famous things, obviously, I think one of them happened, but I don't think the other one did because that's just too much. I mean, the other thing with Howard Stern is it's believable. So I'm going to say yes on the Howard Stern thing and the timing and her age and all that. It all works. So that actually works for me. It's like, so the other two choices was Jessie Andrews or Miley Cyrus, right?
Yes.
Well, it was Miley Cyrus and Jessie Andrews. I was going to shoot a girl of them because
okay.
Miley...
And what was the other situation?
Was that I had a Lady Gaga impersonator.
Right, the Lady Gaga impersonator. Yeah, I
So that's tough.
I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to say that the Lady Gaga impersonator, because it sounds the most tangible of the three. And I'm going to say that that's the lie, because the others make more sense to me. And I could see, you know, the more ridiculous the scenario, the more likely it is to happen with Courtney. So I am going to say that the Lady Gaga thing is the lie. That's my response.
I think the Lady Gaga thing is a lie as well, because all the things that you said, and I don't know why, but I seem to know a lot of people that have been on the Howard Stern show. And I thought, it's not that far-fetched.
Nah. It's amazing,
so,
but
yeah. I'm going to go with Jay. I think we're both going to lock in on the first thing is the lie.
I win.
You beat us? Really?
I did. I totally beat you guys. I'm shocked.
Which one?
Which one's true? The Howard Stern?
I've definitely been on the Howard Stern show. When I was 16, I was part of a journalist group, like a junior journalist type thing.
Okay.
We got this really cool thing set up where we like got to go and like ask him questions, and it like wasn't in his studio, but we could see him and he could see us. Yeah. So it was like this really neat moment. And like, actually he called me, it's funny, like he called me like kind of chubby, like, cause he could see us.
Right.
And he had just gotten divorced from his wife. So I just kind of like clapped back and I was like, is that why your wife fucking dumped you? Is because you're like this piece of shit who like judges everybody on their size? And well, he was done. Just like, probably. I just moved on.
So the Miley Cyrus, Jesse Anders things was the bullshit.
So I was never contacted to shoot the purported Miley Cyrus lesbian softcore sex tape with Jesse Andrews. But I should have been.
You know, well, I almost went with that. I almost went with that because I was like, Miley Cyrus. I mean, she's kind of been big for a few decades now. Mm-hmm. But then I don't know Courtney well enough to know, like, who her connections might be. So I relied on Jay.
Right. And I'm good at selling my responses. So, I would have made a good lawyer if I could read better.
That makes good sense. And I had a feeling that she was trying to trick us up by acting like, so I was right on there. Cause I was looking at your body language and I was like, she's perfect. I'm getting tripped up here. I know I'm purposely getting tripped up here.
So what have we learned from this, folks? Don't listen to me. It's convincing and as well as I can tell the story. Don't listen to my logic or my line of reason. Although it did work the last time. It did work the last time.
So
I can't assume everybody's seen every film that I've ever touched because at this point it's over 70. But the film that I made for Smash Pictures that won an XBIZ award. So the only time I've ever won an XBIZ award, okay, was for this film. I know. I can see your tongue hanging out of your mouth. I just didn't want to get it twisted and say some other trophy. But the only time I ever got the clear trophy was for a movie called Scissor, the Lesbian Love Story, or something like Lesbian Dating App Situation. And yeah, the producer was like, you can make this movie, but you have to cast Kinky Gaga, who is a pornographic Lady Gaga impersonator.
Okay.
I was just like, I've never been asked to cast somebody in one of my films before, but actually she's a really cool person. So I'll cast her. So I cast a Lady Gaga impersonator named Kinky Gaga. And the movie I made for Smash Pictures called like San Francisco Lesbians or something like that. I don't even remember what it's called, but it won an award. It was pretty cool.
She looked like Lady Gaga.
She had like a white wig on and the little. So yeah, that one's true. I shot a porno with a Lady Gaga impersonator.
On that note, and I like to end things on a good note, we are running short of time. I like to keep these things well under an hour, and this is our longest one to date.
Look how long it is. I know.
That's what she said. So basically, what I want to do is.
I have to start my own podcast because I just keep going.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could keep going. And the whole point of this is like, you know, people are just audio voyeurism. They're listening in on our phone call and we go in completely unrehearsed, unannounced, and just talk about whatever the fuck moves us. But what I want to do is give you the opportunity, Courtney, to tell people how they can reach you, how they can watch your movies, what's the best way to contact you, why would they want to contact you, all that good stuff.
Gosh, why would you want to contact me? No, I'm kidding.
Well, because you're cute as fuck.
That's right.
Well, if you want to see how cute I am, you can totally go to CourtneyTrouble.com and click around some of the porno links and watch some of my scenes, because I definitely love being a performer. And I really love the idea of lots of people watching my porn. So that would be cool. CourtneyTrouble.com is my main personal website. I also own and run by myself TroubleFilms.com, QueerPorn.tv, and then IndiePornRevolution.com. Those are my main sites. So you can see all the hardcore videos and photos and all that stuff. We have some full-length films up there. If you want to buy a film, you can go to TroubleFilms.com/shop. Our current new releases are East Bay Brats 4, which is my BDSM series. You've got to check it out. It's so much fun. If you like DIY lesbian queer porn, like this is just a group of hot, kinky, queer babes just fucking in a dungeon. It's really good. And then Sin Sage's Trans Lesbian Lovers, which has just been making the rounds like through all the like awards nominations and like film fests, and it got a really good review. So, you know, representing for Sin Sage's films, for Trouble Films, is awesome. So check out her stuff. And yeah, those are the places you can find me. Social media, you can find me on Twitter, Courtney Trouble. And yeah, you can reach out to me, well, probably on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Probably the easiest. Yeah. Right?
They can at you. They can direct.
Or, you know, if you're trying to have like cyber sex with me, you can go to troublefans.com, which will currently take you to my OnlyFans, but it might be something else later. Who knows?
Hey,
but yeah, that's where you can sort of engage with me as a sex worker online. If you want to just like talk and hang out, come follow me on Twitter, Courtney Trouble. I'm always happy to just like be like a friendly ear for other sex workers. So, you know, if like something's going on or whatever, like I'm always happy to just like hear what's going on. And like, if I have good advice, I'll try to give it to you. But for the most part, you know, I'm here for community building. And
excellent. So are we.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to just make a little money and help everybody else make a little money. And yeah, make some good trouble.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Make some good trouble. Thank you so much for joining us this week, this episode of Seat of Your Pants, Courtney Trouble. And thank you as well for joining us, as always, Mistress Kai. Mm-hmm. And you all have a great week, everyone.
Thank you so much, you guys.